This week's parsha begins with the mitzvah of counting the Jewish people. So I wanted to share some divrei Torah from the Shem Yishmuel about this idea. Mispar b'nei Yisrael, the counting of the Jewish people. So the Shem Yishmuel says, Naktim divrei Zohar HaKadosh. Let's start with the Zohar HaKadosh. Pascha Hahusava. Patach Hahusava. There was an old man who began with the following. V'amarni said, verses of Amidbar Asher Ra'isa, and in the desert where you saw, Ma'u Ra'isa, what does it mean that you saw? Elakut Shabrichu Dibralam Yisrael v'Amidbara. Hashem spoke to the Jewish people when we were in the desert. Midbara Takifa, a very powerful desert. K'mad Dichsiv, because the verse goes on to say, the desert is the place of Nachash, Saraf, Akrav, V'Tzima'on. The desert is the place of snake, serpent, scorpion, and thirst. So the Pasuk lists four dangers about the desert. Snake, scorpion, serpent, and thirst. So where else do we have four negative things? So that we have in the beginning of the book of Yechezkel. In the beginning of the book of Yechezkel, Yechezkel describes what he had to fight through to get to the vision of seeing godliness. And he describes going through four barriers. And that's why the Kabbalists talk about the four klipos, the four shells, the four husks that have to be broken through to get to the good, to get to the sweetness, to get to the fruit. You have to break through four barriers. And those four barriers are referenced in Yechezkel, and that's really why the Greeks used to organize the natural world with four elements: fire, wind, earth, water. Those four elements were to correspond to the four klipos, and they were to correspond to the four barriers that Yechezkel had to break through in order to see God. So it's remarkable, the Torah, in describing the desert, talks about it being a place of snake, serpent, scorpion, and thirst. Four challenges. Because the desert represented a place of all the possible opposition, all the forces of evil, temptation, and physicality, and pulling away from godliness were all there in the desert. Says the Zohar, Midbara di'ihu takif mishar midbarin ba'alma. This desert that the Jewish people were in was more powerful than any other desert in the world. It was the most difficult place. It was the most inhospitable to life. My taima, why was that so? Bagin dahi shaita. They went out of Egypt. V'yishtalimu l'shitin rivivon. Et takuf malchusa kadisha. V'yistalik al kola. V'siyara isnaharis. U'kidein iskafya malka chayava sitra achra. Therefore, apiklon kutshabrichu l'meach b'midbara takifa. Tiu atar v'shultana de Samuel chayava, tiu dilei mamish, begin l'tavra, tokve v'chele u'lachatase reshe. Says the Zohar, a very interesting dynamic. The Jewish people had just reached a tremendous height. We had gone through 210 years of suffering in Egypt. The suffering that a person goes through is a tremendous merit. It's a tremendous tikkun. The Jewish people had gone through 210 years of suffering. Last week, I wasn't able to be here to share Divrei Torah. I had to be in Chicago for a funeral of the father of someone in our community. So at the funeral, they said an amazing thing, that this person who had passed away, Mr. Klein, he went through 27 years of suffering. When he was 45 years old, he had a heart attack. in the hospital, he had a stroke. And then while in the hospital, with a heart attack and a stroke, he coded. And it was a total shutdown. So hundreds of people came to the hospital to say Tehillim. At the hospital, they changed his name. They added another name to him. And they did emergency surgery on him. And they didn't know if he would survive the surgery. Spent 3 months in a coma. And then after 3 months, they were able to take him out of the coma eventually. And they had to reteach him how to swallow, how to walk, how to talk, you know, to bring him back. And then everything else that could go wrong went wrong. He had cancer, he had other, you know, kidney failure, kidney transplants, you know, all sorts of challenges. 27 years of basically in and out of hospitals, tremendous medical issues for 27 years. And he spent those years in Kolo. He was so shattered physically, he stopped working and he used to go to Kolo and he used to learn. He learned Choshen Mishpat, he learned with Chavrusos, he just learned for 27 years. So a relative of his spoke, he said that when he thought about his uncle, he was reminded of the Gemara in the Masechet Tanis about Nachum Ish Gamzu. The Gemara says that Nachum Ish Gamzu once wasn't so sensitive to a poor person, and he said, you know, I really deserve to be punished for the way I acted. So he asked that his hands be cut off, his feet cut off. It was a terrible, terrible illness. And he had all sorts of things going wrong with his body. And his students came to see him and they said, we feel so terrible that we see you like this. Woe to us to see you like this. And Nachum Ish Gamzu says, woe to me if you wouldn't have seen me like this. So the nephew said that the Chafetz Chaim explained that in the next world, there's a scale. And God puts our misdeeds on one side. He puts our merits on the other. And then he'll see, you know, are the merits heavier than the misdeeds, and he adds to the merits all the suffering that a person had in his life. All the difficulty that a person has are added to the side of merit to weigh down. So that's what Nachum Ish Gamzu was saying. I went through so much. Woe to me if you wouldn't see me like this. I'm happy that you saw me going through so much because this is giving me enormous, enormous merits. That's what he was saying at the funeral. He said about his uncle, he went through so much. That gave such enormous merits. So the Jewish people, we went through 210 years of suffering. So that gave us enormous merits. And we become an amazing nation. We come out with 600,000 men. That's what the count is in this week's parsha. We're 600,000 men over the age of 20. That's an amazing number. The Maharal explains in Gevuras Hashem that the number 600,000 is a number that's symbolic of perfection. Because six is a number of perfection. In the physical world, an item has six sides. So six is a number of great perfection, and 600,000 is not just six, it's 60 times 10,000. So it's 10,000, which is the highest number you have in the Torah, and 60 of six, a multiple of that, of six. So it's a symbol of great, great perfection. So we reached very great perfection. Hashem was taking us out of Egypt. We were so powerful spiritually. Then we get the Torah at Har Sinai. It also adds to our spiritual perfection. Says the Zohar, an interesting thing. When you reach a height of spiritual perfection, you're then ready for a big battle. Because the big battle can't be waged by those who are spiritually weak. It has to be waged by those who are spiritually strong. So the nation going through the suffering in Egypt, and the nation going through, you know, staying loyal to God despite everything in Egypt, and the nation getting the Torah at Sinai made us very great. When we're very great, God says, okay, now it's time for war. I'm going to take you to the most difficult spot. I'm going to take you to the place where the four forces of evil are all manifest. The worst desert, the place of no life, but there are snakes, and there are serpents, and there are scorpions, and there is thirst. Now you have to go there and break that. Because if you can break that, then you're weakening the force of evil. It's so relevant, right? You know, today you had a great good, the non-Jews accepting that Yerushalayim belongs to the Jews, and right away there's the other side of the country, unfortunately, there's a battle where the forces of evil are trying to fight. Now this new good, they're trying to fight the good. But that's the way it works in this world. As a person gets strength and reaches a higher spiritual level, now he's ready to take on a bigger challenge, and now he gets confronted by that bigger challenge. The Jewish nation had reached a very great spiritual level, and because we reached such a high spiritual level, we had to go to war. And that's why we get counted. That's how the Zohar begins this week's Parsha.
So Yosef HaTzadik exemplifies that.
Right, very much so.
He had all those physical enemies, and then he surpasses them. He comes, he's still holy, and then
he has the challenge with the wife of Potiphar, right? That's the way it is, that as a person reaches a higher level, then he gets to another challenge, and a higher challenge. So that's, he has to break through that challenge. So that's what happens, that the Jewish people reach a very high level. Once we reach a very high level, now we have to confront the desert, the forces of evil that are in the desert. We have to defeat them, and we have to break through to defeat them. So now says the Shem Yishmuel. How does this explain why we have to be counted? V'inei yadua, ki atzorech hayoter gadol, nitzuach melchamos, hu chozak halev. It's known that if you want to succeed in war, you need to be strong-minded. The key is confidence, is strength, is toughness, to be strong-minded. You don't go into a war being hesitant. You can't go into a war being uncertain. You can't go into a war with, you know, being meek. It's not a way to win in a war. In a war, you have to go in with great strength. As, for example, we find, there was a person appointed called the Kohen Mashuach Melchama. He was the second in charge of all the Kohanim. He was right under the Kohen Gadol. He was anointed for this state. Sake that, and right when the Jews would go to war, when you'd come close to war, he'd speak to the nation, he would say, you're not allowed to be, your hearts can't become soft. Don't let your hearts become soft. Al tiru, don't be afraid. Don't fear. In Divrei Hayamim we have another verse. Pnei Arye Pneihem. The face of the warriors were the faces of lions. They had to be lions. And then you have another verse in Mishlei. He's not going to retreat no matter what is in front of him. To go to war, you have to have confidence. We find the opposite, that the way to lose a war is to be afraid. The Gemara says in Sota, Tchilas Nefila Nisa. The beginning of the loss of the war is running away from the battle. Running away, that's the beginning of the loss. So if that's true about a physical war, it's certainly true in the spiritual war, fighting the forces of evil. When we are engaged in a spiritual battle, the foundation, the foundation of success is a bristling heart, a tough heart, a strong heart, not to give up. Shelo yivatel dato. To say, I'm not going to stop. Mipnei hamal'igim. Mipnei hamnios v'amitzirim. Because of all those that might be an obstacle or might be a source of criticism. And how do you get there? How do you get to that type of strength? V'yiyechashuv be'enei atzma. You have to appreciate that you yourself are important. You know, we always talk about the importance of humility, but sometimes there's a place for the opposite of humility, for confidence, for strength. I'm important. This is important. To succeed in a war, it's true, you have to feel that you're better than the next guy. That you're a better army. You're what do they call them? A top gun, right? You're the top. You're the best. You're the best sharpshooters and the best pilots and the best tank operators and the best intelligence and the best spies. You have to go out there feeling that I'm the best and I am strong and I'm chashuv and I have abilities. And that's the way you succeed in war. And that's what you have to do in the spiritual war. That my ideas do matter. And my service matters. And I have ability. The Yires Atzmo, person who's engaged in the spiritual battle, should view himself Ki'ilu kala olam kulo talibo, that the whole world is hanging on him. The whole world needs him. His service is necessary for the world. Kamram Zalaz, our sages say, La'olam yira adam atzmo, a person should always view himself, ki'ilu chetzio chayav v'chetzio zakai, that he is half guilty and half innocent. But not just is he half guilty and half innocent. The whole world is half guilty and half innocent. And this next mitzvah that he does is going to save himself and the entire world. He matters. Person has to feel that I matter. That's why before the Jews go into the desert, before they're about to travel away from Sinai, they're about to engage in the battle of crushing serpent, snake, scorpion, and thirst, which represent the four forces of evil, before they engage in that battle, they need to feel important. That's why they get counted. The nature of counting is that when you count something, you treasure it. It's important. Gemara says that you should daven as slowly as you count your money. A person counts his money, he counts slowly, carefully, wants to know exactly how much he has. They say that Rav Chaim Soloveitchik used to daven very quickly. They said to him, but Rebbe, the Gemara says you should daven as slowly as you count your money. He said, I don't count my money slowly. I count my money very fast. But normal people, they count their money slowly. They deliberate. Every little piece matters. We find this in the halacha. There's a concept called bittel. If you have an item that falls into a mixture, so if the majority is of one character, this item is of a different character, this item, because it's a minority, loses its identity in the majority. Bittel berov. But the halacha is that ein bittel bedavar shebeminyan, something that gets counted individually, and it gets sold, by threes, it gets counted, it gets, each piece matters. It doesn't lose its identity in a mixture. And each piece matters. It doesn't lose its identity. It has prominence. It has chashivas. It has importance. And that's what's going on here. The mitzvah to count the Jews is to say that each Jew is prominent. You matter. You're not batel. Why do you have to say that each Jew is prominent? L'man yachziku ma'amad b'milchama gadola hukdola hu, so that the Jews will have the strength in this big war. Shelo yuchal asamach mem, so that the forces of evil will not be able hat osam to fool them, ulahamrich es levavam, and to weaken their hearts. The kasher nistakel, if we look closely, nireh we'll find the following: shekala menuyim shayu biYisrael. Whenever Jews are counted, hayu rakoda melchama, they're always counted before a war. They're always counted before a war. Either a spiritual war or a physical war. For example, where's the first time the Jews are counted? Haminyan Arishon. It's in Parshas Vayigash. When Yaakov goes down to Egypt, the Torah lists all the people coming with Yaakov. The Shivim Nefesh Yardav Osecha Mitzrayimah. With 70 souls, you came down to Egypt. Why are they counted then? Why weren't they counted earlier? Why aren't they counted in Parshas Vayetze, when all of the boys are being born? Why aren't they counted in Parshas Vayishlach when they come to Eretz Yisrael? Because going to Egypt is a war. That's a war. it's a war to not be corrupted by Egypt or assimilated into Egypt, to withstand all the challenges of Egyptian impurity. So before a war, you matter. You matter a lot. You're important. You're powerful. You're significant. You're going to war. And in war, you need to feel that way. Kamo Shapir's quote, Kedushas Avi Adoni Mori V'Rabbi Zeichet Tzadok Levracha Maimer HaKasav. The verse that says, Ve'eile Shmos B'nei Yisrael Abay Mitzrayma. Alpima HaShakasav HaRazba B'tshuva. D'shem Shel Davar Humahusa Davar. V'kasher Holchul Mitzrayim Makom Tuma. When we're going down into Egypt, a place of impurity, Hutzruchu L'chizuk L'kiyam B'yoser. We needed encouragement. We had to be counted by names. We had to be renewed. Ach yitzias Mitzrayim, after we leave Egypt. Achar shenaflu b'cheta egel, and we have many who die in the sin of the golden calf. So again, we need to be counted, to be encouraged. And now, we're about to engage in the battle of traveling through the desert, which is also a battle, so we need to be counted. And before we enter the land of Israel, in Parshas Pinchas, we're about to engage in a war against the kings of Canaan. We have to be counted. We find later that before every war, we have to be counted. That's what we find. When Gidon goes to war, he counts. When David goes to war, he counts. And in fact, David gets punished for counting the Jews. Why? Because he counted us when we weren't going to war. Because arrogance is good when we're going to war, when we're engaged in a battle, when we're engaged in a struggle. But before we're going to war, it's not the time to be arrogant. Then the counting was a sin. Now we can understand the difference between this count and the count before we actually enter the land of Israel. In this count, it says four things. B'mispar shemos, according to the names, l'gul gulosam. And it also l'mishpachosam and l'beisavosam. Whereas in the second count, before we go into Israel, onem arak l'mishpachosam l'beisavosam. It only says two things, to their families and to their father's households. But here it lists four things. Mispar shemos, gul gulosam, mishpachosam, and beisavosam. Kineh milchama ruch nishayisa b'midbar. B'makam nachash saraf akav v'tzimon. Because the war in the desert, a place of snakes, serpent, scorpion and thirst. Yesh lefarish ledayati kim arba klipo shebetuma. These are the four impure forces. Why four impure forces? Because they are against Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and David HaMelech, who are the four forces of holiness. Saraf. Saraf is a serpent. But the word saraf sounds like something burned. Hu'esh, that's the fire of impurity, let's say the fire of arrogance. Ulumaso b'kdusha pachad Yitzchak. The holy form of fire is the awe of Yitzchak. Akrav scorpion is kriros kebashasa vodazara, the Gemara says scorpion is coldness. Ulumas kava yamincha b'kdusha, that corresponds to the right side of holiness, chesed, the attribute of Avram Avinu, which is called Mei Chesed, the waters of Chesed. Nachash is like the word Nechoshes, that corresponds to the attribute of Yaakov, who combines love and restraint. That's why you have the phrase Kilo Nachash Bi Yaakov. We have a Medrash. Zahav, gold, corresponds to Yitzchak. Kesef, silver, corresponds to Avraham. And Nechoshes corresponds to Yaakov. And Tzimaon, thirst, is the opposite of David. David has holy thirst, Tzama nafshi lelokim, Tzama lecha nafshi. And that's why the opposite, the negative thirst, was the thirst in the desert. V'yei shlomar od, to go deeper, why are there these four evil forces? Because the world was created with Hashem's name, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. There are four letters, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. And each of these evil forces is trying to hide one of the names of Hashem. Because God made a world of Zel U'maseh. Whatever you have on the side of holiness, you have equal powerful forces on the opposite side of holiness. It's all going to one destination. That's why there are four things here. Four counts. Names, heads, families, and family households to correspond to the four forces of impurity that had to be defeated. Mispar Shemos Lugulgulosam are the first two letters, but that's only in the desert. When we're about to enter the land of Israel, how many nations are we going to fight in the land of Israel? Seven. We fight the seven nations of Canaan. So the seven, that corresponds to the last two letters of Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. Because in Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, Yud corresponds to the attribute of Chachma and Keser. The He corresponds to Bina. Then the Vav corresponds to Chesed Gvura Tiferet, and that's Achod Yesod. And the final He corresponds to Malchus. So the last two letters, Vav and He, that's corresponding to the seven lower spheros. So those seven were what we were fighting when we came into Israel. Those are only two letters. So since they're only two letters, we only were counted l'mishpachosam, l'veisavosam, to their families, to their households. Says the Shem Yishmuel, now we can understand a Medrash. The Midrash says, the language that the Pasuk says is Su'us Rosh. Su'us Rosh literally means lift up the heads. Says the Medrash like this. If they merit, it's lifting up the heads. They're getting greatness. But if they don't merit, it's like telling an executioner, lift off the head of so-and-so. So, what does that mean? Why is counting us being lifting off of the head? Says the Shem Yishmuel, this is what it means. Why are we being counted? Because we're going to war. And in war, we need to feel great confidence. We need to be sure of ourselves. We need to be convinced that we matter. Oh, but if a person's convinced that he matters, heaven forbid, he might forget about God. He might think, I matter so much, and heaven forbid, the Almighty doesn't matter so much. He might convince himself that he matters so much. And that's the worst thing in the world, the worst thing, is to be someone who is very arrogant and thinking of himself as being very prominent. And so the way to overcome that is to always realize that the only reason why I matter is because I have a mission from the Almighty. And because I'm sent by Him and I'm representing Him, I'm His agent, that's why I matter. So the more a person negates himself to God, and because the importance of the mission he has importance, then he can be successful. But if he doesn't negate himself to God, just lifting himself up because he matters so much, that could be very disastrous. And that's what the Midrash is saying. If the Jews merit, they're being lifted up, and realizing that they're being lifted up is because they have a mission from God to fight the forces of evil and to defeat evil. That's why they're important. Then it's a great thing. But if they allow themselves in being lifted up, to heaven forbid, to become arrogant, then unfortunately they are disconnecting from God. And if they are disconnecting from God because they're so important themselves, then they end up, unfortunately, disconnecting from the Almighty, and then they're causing all sorts of disasters. Off with the heads. That's a terrible, terrible disaster. Because if I'm not connected to God, I think I matter and my doing is what matters, then I've lost life. I've lost the connection to God, which is the source of life. This is what the Shem Yishmuel says. The Shem Yishmuel says that this week's Parsha, the Zohar says, why do we need to be counted when we're about to go into the desert? Because we're about to fight the forces of evil. We have to feel important. Says the Shem Yishmuel, we have to feel important and powerful and capable when we're facing evil. But while we feel important and capable and powerful, we have to surrender that importance and capability and power and recognize that it all comes from God and express godliness and be surrendering to God. Because if, heaven forbid, we disconnect ourselves from God, then we're in grave trouble. Then we're in grave trouble. And I think that that's something that's very powerful. Rav Soloveitchik has a very beautiful essay here where he talks about the significance of the state of Israel. And he says like this. He said, we say every morning a bracha, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Ozer Yisrael B'Gvura, blessed are you, God, who puts a belt on the Jewish people of gvura, of heroism. Then we make another bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Hanosein LaYoev Koach, blessed are you, God, who gives the exhausted strength. So once we have strength, why do we also need gvura? Or you can say this way, once we have gvura, why do we also need strength? So Rav Soloveitchik suggests the following. Koach is a reference to physical strength. But gvura is not physical strength. Gvura is emotional strength, heroism. A hero may not be physically strong, but he's courageous, he's daring, he has tremendous strength of will. And says Rav Soloveitchik, when Khrushchev boasts of his missiles and thermonuclear bombs, there's no heroism in such pride. If you're truly strong, you don't need heroism when you're struggling with somebody who's weaker. But when a physically, militarily weak person does battle with a force superior in power, that's heroic strength. There are two brachos. Hanosen layoyev koach, God gives the exhausted physical strength. But even more, Ozer Yisrael begvura, that God gives the Jewish people heroism, gives the Jewish people the emotional strength. When the state of Israel was engaged in the struggle with all of its Arab neighbors, who had physical strength? They did. But who had heroism? The state of Israel. Heroism means to fight even when the chances of victory are slim. When reason advises capitulation because logically the battle seems lost. Heroism implies doing the paradoxical, the absurd. Sometimes, of course, ordinary logic is mistaken. And it is just then when heroism opposes might that heroism wins and not might. For the miracles and heroic deeds, the miracle lies in the victory of heroism over force. Rabim biyad ma'atim, many in the hands of the few. We were found worthy to see that same miracle at the rise of the state of Israel, when heroism prevailed over brute force. If you would ask me, what is the story of Jewish history from the time of Avram to the state of Israel? I would say it's the fact that we have heroic gvura existence. It's from the days of Avram, we've been like that. Avram is called Avraham HaIvri. Why is he called Avraham HaIvri? So Chazal say, the whole world is on one side of the river, he's on the other side. From the point of view of power, it was never possible to compare our limits with the enormous force of our neighbors. But even so, we succeeded in existing as Am Levadad Yishkon, as a nation that dwells alone, by virtue of what? By virtue of heroism. We go through history saying, V'af al pi sheyisma mea im uza achakala. Even though it hasn't happened, year after year, waiting for Mashiach, we're still waiting. We're not giving up. We're going against all the data. We live as heroes. What is a Jew? A Jew is a person ready to live heroically, ready to be in the minority, to fight against himself and fight against his own logic. The whole idea of mitzvos is to go against nature. So often, take the mitzvah of Taharas HaMishpacha. By human nature, a person wants to do things, Yet, Taras HaMishpacha, he has to pull back. He pulls away. It's heroic. No one's pressuring him. He's doing it because he wants to act heroically. That's a tremendous thing. When the Jew entered into the Western world and Jews go out to work, he has to be a hero. He has to be a hero to keep Shabbos, to educate his children to Torah, to keep mitzvos. It's very difficult to tell everybody you're working with, I'm going to be different. Things you do, I can't do. I'm going to go different from the rest of the world. That's the idea of Ozer Yisrael Begvura. Ozer Yisrael Begvura is the challenge of being a heroic person, to live the life of heroism. And that is what Medinas Yisrael is all about. Medinas Yisrael is about living that heroic life. And that's what the Shem Yishmuel is telling us. To live a heroic life, you have to have confidence, you have to feel that you matter, that you can accomplish great things. But there's a danger in feeling that you matter and you can accomplish great things. The danger of becoming arrogant and disconnecting from God, heaven forbid. So you have to merge that confidence with the sense that the confidence comes from the mission of serving Hashem, of doing the will of Hashem. And that's where the confidence comes from. That's where the strength comes from. You know, after 1967, unfortunately, there was a phrase. It was, Kol HaKavod L'Tzahal, all honor to Tzahal. And that was a very dangerous phrase, because it wasn't Kol HaKavod L'Tzahal. It's Kol HaKavod to Hashem. Thank God to Hashem and the soldiers who went as the shluchim of Hashem, as the emissaries of Hashem. But it's never how great we are. You have to be confident versus our enemies. But then we can't allow the confidence to become cockiness. It has to be then merged with the sense of confidence because we're on a mission from Hashem, sent by Hashem, working for Hashem, doing for Him. We all know what happened after 1967. After 1967, the Israelis were so confident that they had what they called the conspectia. That they decided, since in 1956, Israel had defeated Egypt very quickly, a couple of days. And then for 11 years, basically there was no war with Egypt. Problems, some terrorism, but there was no war with Egypt. So they figured we beat them really badly in 67, so we have at least 10 years. Meanwhile, in 1973, they saw 50,000 Egyptian soldiers on the other side of the Suez Canal. They saw it all. They saw the bridges. They saw the missiles brought in there, surface-to-air missiles. They said, there's no way Egypt's going to fight us. We just beat them so badly 6 years ago, they're going to fight us? And there was even a talk to say, let's call up the reserves. They said, no, if we call up the reserves, then Egypt's going to think we're going to attack them, then Egypt's going to attack us. So we're not going to do it. So they left on a 216-mile-long border. I think there was, 200 soldiers, 400 soldiers, 216 miles. 16 forts, 200 soldiers in the 16 forts, facing off against an army of 50,000 people. And then Nebuchadnezzar, Yom Kippur afternoon, there was the war. And Nebuchadnezzar, ultimately, in those 3 weeks of war, thousands of Jews lost their lives, unfortunately. Thousands. All because of, you know, what they think is the cockiness, the arrogance. Oh, they would never attack us again. That's what the Shem Yishmuel says. Being counted, being lifted up. It's very important when you go to war. You have to be confident when you go to war. But there's tremendous danger in being confident, of forgetting that it's all from Hashem and becoming arrogant and disconnecting from Hashem. So you have to have the confidence together with the attachment to Hashem, with the surrender to Hashem. And then we can succeed in actually overcoming. So just the Shem Yishmuel, maybe that's the idea of the flags that we have in this week's Parsha. You say later in the Parsha that the Jews were divided into four camps, and each tribe would have its flag, and there'd be one tribe, the leader of each camp, the tribe of Yehuda, the tribe of Reuven. So the Medrash says that why do the Jews have flags? We're leaving Sinai in this week's Parsha, because at Sinai, God revealed that what's going on in the heavens. And when God revealed what's going on in the heavens, the Jews were very taken by what they saw. They saw angels, and the angels had flags. So the Jews also wanted flags. So what's the idea of having flags? When you have a flag and you're a soldier, you always know where to go back to. The flag is raised high, you're going to that flag. That's the idea of the flag. And so you're always going back to the roots. When we're in the war, the spiritual war, we have to know where to go back to and to connect to the roots. The Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim about flags, V'diglo alai ahava. His flag above me, his banner above me, is emblazoned with the words love. In other words, with love of Hashem, there's a flag, there's an attachment to Hashem. And the angels are emissaries. They have flags. They know they're on a mission. We wanted flags to constantly remind us that we're on a mission. That even when we're involved in the physical matters of this world, we're really on a mission of love for God. We're on a mission to fulfill the will of God. And maybe that's what the Jewish people say. When the nations of the world tell us, why don't you come join us? We say, can you give us the honor that God gave us with the flags? In other words, the nations of the world say, you come join us, we'll give you all sorts of prominent positions. We'll give you honor, physical power. And we say, no, we know that physical power and physical honor can be dangerous for us. It can be the arrogance that disconnects us from God. We remember the flags. We remember always being connected back to God. And through that always being connected to God and having the mission of God, that's how we can overcome. And that's really about an attachment that's above logic. The Maharal says, the nations of the world, they do great things, but it's because it makes sense to them. The Gemara says that Dama ben Asina was an Edomite, a righteous Edomite, and his father was sleeping on the key to the chest. So the rabbis wanted to buy from him one of the stones for the choshen, for the breastplate. He said, I can't wake up my father, he's sleeping on the key. So the rabbis left. So then God rewarded him that he got a red cow in his flock. The rabbis came and they bought the red cow for whatever price he would set. So the Maharal asks, why was he rewarded with the red cow? So the Maharal says, because there was a little bit of a complaint on the Jews. Look at how great this non-Jew is. He does so much for his father, to honor his father. He won't wake him up, even though it costs him so much money. So God said to the angels, that's true, he does a great thing. But the Jews would do such a great thing, they'd pay so much money, even for a mitzvah that doesn't make sense, for the red cow. And the non-Jews, they'll do the mitzvah that makes sense, to honor father and mother. But the mitzvah that doesn't make sense, not so clear that they would show such sacrifice for the mitzvah that doesn't make sense. The Jewish people will show sacrifice for a mitzvah that doesn't make sense. Because the Jewish connection to God is not just logical. It's that the Jewish neshama is drawn to God. Because the Jewish neshama comes from God. And it's a basic, basic attachment. That's the idea of the flags. The flags are that you know where to come back to. We are drawn to God like the angels are drawn to God. And the flags are the antidote to the danger of the count. Says the Shem Yishmuel, since Jewish nature is to run to God, that's why before we got the Torah at Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu put up fences to keep us away from Har Sinai. There's a famous midrash. The midrash says on the pasuk, Kofia mehar paran va'asa meirvos kodesh, bimino eish das lamo. That when God appeared to give us the Torah at Sinai, first he went to visit our cousins, the Ishmaelim. And he offered them the Torah. So the Ishmaelim said, what does it say in the Torah? So God says, it says in the Torah, you have to have modesty, lotinah, you can't sleep with somebody else's wife. So they said, we don't want the Torah. Then God went to Edom, the Romans, the Christians. He offered them the Torah. They said, what does it say in the Torah? God said, it says, do not commit murder. Don't commit murder, then we don't want the Torah. That's what we're all about. We live on our sword. So God went to the Jewish people and said, do you want the Torah? They said, absolutely. Nasa v'nishma. So the question is, the other nations, they were told the things that they don't like to hear. The Romans were told about murder. The Yishmaelim were told about adultery. They don't like hearing those things. So they rejected it. Were we told anything that we don't like to hear? Says the Avnei Nezer, yes. Because we were told we can't run up to Mount Sinai. we were told that there's a fence to keep us from the mountain. And Jewish nature, the Jewish soul, wants to run up to God. So to be told, you're here, you can watch, but you can't run up, that's being told something which goes against our nature. Just like they were told things that go against their nature. And even though it was against our nature, we accepted it. We accepted the Torah wholeheartedly. And that's what we are celebrating on Purim, on Shavuos. On Shavuos, we're celebrating the fact that the Jewish people are attached to Torah, are attracted to Torah, and we accept the will of God no matter how He places it. Even when He tells us to go against our nature, we listen to it. And so I thought that these ideas of the Shemi Shmuel are very relevant this week. The idea that in battle, whenever there's an elevation of good, there's an equal elevation, unfortunately, of the opposite of good. We have to be confident, but the confidence has to be married to a sense of mission, to go out, to do for God, to be attached to God. And Bezrat Hashem, hopefully we'll see blessings for the Jewish people.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Sfirat HaOmer, thank you.
Thank you.